Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Chicago's Afternoon News, 720 WGN. It is 418. Thank you for joining us. You're always welcome to share your thoughts or to jump on the phone at 312-981-7200. That's also our text in line. Here's somebody you should meet. She is a former colleague, and she is challenging Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart in the primary to be the next Cook County Sheriff. Say hello to Carmen Navarro-Jercone. How are you, Carmen?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. So have we ever had a female sheriff?
No, 191 years. There's never been a female sheriff, and there's never been a person of color.
Gosh, and you've worked for the sheriff's office for 26 years?
26 years, and I loved almost every minute of it. I definitely enjoyed it. Yeah, 26 years. I started in 1994, and I left in November of 2020.
So your husband is a Cook County sheriff, a police sergeant. Is he still in that role?
Yes, he's still a sergeant there. So he, for 26 years, had to survive with me being the boss at home and at work.
I love that. You got some kids. And tell me about why your parents moved out of Chicago.
My parents, we actually moved in 1984 after my brother was murdered as part of a gang war in Humboldt Park. So my father moved us to try to save. I had a younger brother at the time. So they wanted to give us a better life, kind of get us away from there.
My gosh, I'm so sorry. What a story. And then you and your husband have both worked in the field to make this a better, safer community for all of us. So what is it that you think is wrong with what Sheriff Tom Dart is doing, and how could you make it better?
So it's simple. One of the main things I think is not necessarily you have to put the people before the politics. This is the first time I've ever run for office. Even in school, I never ran for student council president or anything like that. I always just like doing the work. And what I noticed in my 26 years is that sometimes a lot of times the political policies got in the way of what was best for the people and the implementations of the policies and procedures that needed to happen. For example, in the 26 years I was there, when I started in 1994, I was a single mother on public aid, and I knew the kind of assistance that I got that helped me get on my feet and pull myself up. And I use that in the office, right? Those personal and professional experiences help you understand what people need. You need that connection. So it's more that Tom Dart is not connected to the people he's supposed to be serving. He lacks the professional and the personal experiences really needed to relate. All he has is the political background. You can't do that. You forget who you're serving when you can't empathize. And that's difficult. And a good example of that is getting rid of boot camp, getting rid of a lot of the mental health, women's justice, the juvenile diversion programs, all those programs that he has slowly gotten rid of that really are helpful, show his lack of connection to the community he's supposed to be serving.
So it is interesting because you worked for Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart, and now he's facing a challenge from you in the upcoming primary. And I think both of you will try and fight to see who can get the Democratic Party to support them, correct?
Well, he was already slated by the Democratic Party from the start. He was slated back in before the loyalty pledge came out. I was basically told that I would not be slated because I was not in the same boat rowing in the same direction. So Tom Dart does have the party's support, but I didn't go to ask for their permission. I did go to ask for support. But regardless of that, the voters deserve a choice at the end of the day. And it should be up to the voters, and it will be up to the voters. I think they're speaking up loudly enough. I've made it this far. And no one thought I would still be standing here. I'm being challenged again. No matter what they throw at me, I'm going to get over that one too, because I truly, truly believe I'm in this for the right reason. Right reasons. There's several of them. And this isn't personal for me. I spoke to Tom Dart before I announced I was running the day before, and I told him I was going to be doing this. And he knew it. I didn't hide. I didn't sneak. I ran the second largest department for him. This isn't personal. This is just about who's the right person for the job, who can serve Cook County right now. And I believe that's me. Otherwise, I wouldn't be putting myself through this.
Absolutely. Or your kids. This is Carmen Navarro-Jericone. She is a former colleague. She's challenging Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart in the Democratic primary. So talk to me, because when I read a couple days ago in the Sun-Times that defendants on home confinement now get 2 days a week to, I don't know, be released from their electronic monitoring to go to appointments, I was kind of stunned by that. Where do you stand on that?
So there are several things. Having worked in the sheriff's office for 26 years, having had to move from Humboldt Park to Skokie and serving the community, my husband and I, we live in the city now. I have five children. They weren't always the best behaved, and they didn't always have the best behaved children. The majority of what occurs with individuals is that they don't have the resources. So you can't react just politically. So 2 days a week for movement to handle most of the people on electronic monitoring, we can't throw away the baby with the bathwater. There are people on electronic monitoring who are going to do what they need to do responsibly. The problem is that this is Tom Dart's electronic monitoring program. He has never allocated the staff necessary to properly supervise the individuals on electronic monitoring. The programs that they need, GEDs, vocational training, behavioral, substance abuse, mental health treatment, things that even their attorneys can use as mitigation towards sentencing, all those programs he got away with. So now you have people on electronic monitoring for 2 years, 3 years, sitting on their couch, hanging out with their friends, maybe committing other crimes, and they're getting credit towards their sentence because they don't have resources. Let's give them some resources. If you have nothing to do and you aren't expected to do anything, what are you going to do with that?
So this might seem simplistic, but I'm just trying to understand it. So if you're under electronic monitoring and you get 2 days a week off, you just take the monitor off? Isn't there a way, we have so much technology, to say, yeah, I'm going to the doctor's appointment. Yeah, I'm going here. Now, as you pointed out, there's just a few that are committing crimes, but it still worries people. Like, hey.
And it should. And it should. And you're correct. So, but the system used right now, the ankle bracelets used right now, are faulty. There was a gentleman who just spent 3 months in jail. Now, granted, what he was charged with was horrible, but again, it was a charge. But they arrested him because they said that he was violating his electronic monitoring. After 3 months, they found out he was not. So there's several things that need to happen, not just saying what's popular. You have to look at the equipment. You have to allocate the staff. You have to provide the resources. Just letting people out of jail and saying, well, we're not locking you up anymore, we're going to let you out. And now they're in a community with still no resources. All you've really done, no matter what side you're on, is expand the size of their prison cell. Because you're not providing them services in the jail, and you're not providing them any programs outside either.
And to get those programs and to get those services, it does take politics. Wouldn't you agree? I know that you said, you know, Tom Dart spends too much time on politics, but it does take politicking to get some of those programs and to get the money to fund those issues, don't you think?
Yes, but it's more social politics. It's more social politics. And this is what I mean when I say that. I went from Humboldt Park to Skokie in 1984. 12-year-old girl. No one looked like me. No one dressed like me. No one listened to the music I listened to. It was junior high, and it was tough. But I wanted to learn new things. I wanted to make friends. What did I need to learn to do? I needed to learn to listen before I reacted. I needed to find where I agreed with people, and build on that so that then I can voice my difference of opinion. Because when people feel that you're more of a similar spot than your adversaries, you can build on that. I learned to do that. That's social politics. Absolutely, to get programs and get people to work with you, that is political. But not political in the sense of, I need this group to vote for me, so this year I'm going to say let them out of jail. oh, now they're swinging the other way, so now I'm going to say lock them all up. That's not the kind of politics we need.
Well, we're going to follow
politics,
you.
Absolutely.
It'll be here before you know it. Carmen Navarro-Jericone, thank you for joining us on Chicago's Afternoon News.
Thank you.